Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Black Writer Space. I am your host, Tiffany, a.k.a. Miss Mocha, and I have my co-host with me, Mario Gibbons. Mario, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everybody.
Yes, tonight we have an awesome guest. Her name is Kimberly Matthews Hooker, and she has 15 years' experience in the writing field. In the literary field, she is a 12-time published novelist, speaker, content editor, ghostwriter, and a literary agent. So we're going to chat with her tonight and find out what's going on with her. She has accomplished so much. Kimberly?
Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Mario.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Happy New Year to the both of you.
Same to you, same to you. You are our second guest for this year, so we are really, really glad to have you. And I was like looking at your website. You've done a lot. Like, it's so much, I don't even know where to start. 12 titles? That's hot. That's really hot.
Thank you. I actually just released number 13 right as the new year was entering at the very end of 2011, and so I need to up that number to 13 now.
So it's 13. Okay. And what's the title for number 13?
Well, with this 13th title, I have released a new title under a pen name, The Fantastic Lady B.
Okay.
And she is smart and witty and sassy, and her title is 101 Easy Ways to Lose a Good Man Without Cheating on Him. And so
okay. I did see that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if I think I saw that on the blog. I'm not sure. But okay, I did see that. Wow. Okay. So let's start out with, how long have you been writing, like just your total career with writing?
Well, professionally or as an adult, so I'll start there. I released my first title in 97, which was a fiction based on truth, autobiography, if you will, called Promise You Won't Tell Nobody. And so from there, you know, I have just been able to release other titles, but, you know, professionally it started in 97. So,
okay.
15 years ago now? Wow, that's a long time.
Yes, yes it is. Almost 20. Well, 5 more years, it'll be 20 years.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That's
like that makes me so old.
don't look at it like that. Maybe, what do they call it? Seasoned. Seasoned with a lot of wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, that really makes me sound old, Disney.
No, it doesn't. I don't look at. I think the more we experience things and the more we accomplish and the more goals that we reach, I think that gives us wisdom and knowledge. So, no, I don't look at it like that. I don't think you're old until you get maybe 90-something.
Okay.
80, 90.
I've got a little ways before I get there, so I guess I'm
not too.
Old.
Me too. Yeah. But, wow, you have so much on here. The first book was published in 1997, and then you have what is this? The Love Our Children USA.
Yes, Promise You Won't Tell somebody, like I was saying, you know, it's a fiction based on truth, autobiography, if you will, that really deals with, you know, sensitive subjects, specifically incest and physical abuse. And so, you know, I was very surprised. I wasn't even aware of it, Tiffany, that it had been picked up by the Love Our Children organization, which is the number one organization in the United States for violence against children. Or, you know, that is against, let me say it that way, that's against violence towards children. And so I was very surprised to find that title on their recommended reading list, and I kind of just came across it on a whim. You know, I was just doing a search, as I do sometimes, on Google for my own name, and happened to find it there. So, you know, that's an accomplishment that I'm proud of, because it means to me that the purpose that the book was written is getting into the hands of the right people, whether they be victims or, you know, sometimes innocent standbys.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. So many accomplishments, and wow. I'm kind of speechless here.
Oh.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay, previous engagements and media appearances. You have, like, wow, keynote speaker at elementary schools, Real Talk Radio and at Hampton University. Also, I saw something where it says that you are, or you have, you're the creator of Intriguing Relationship Game, which helps couples explore their relationships several layers beyond the surface. Wow. That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us about your, I thought I saw something that said that you were, well, no, I guess that's the picture right here where you're like in a radio station inside the studio. Right. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, every speaking engagement or media appearance that I do, I'm just very honored. Like this one, you know, I'm very honored to be a guest on the show, and certainly, you know, people don't have to call you. Sometimes, you know, as an author can get a sense of entitlement and feel like, because I have this book out, you know, my phone should be ringing off the hook and I should be rich and I should be famous and, you know, the world owes me so much because I have this title, and it's just so not true. And so, you know, every time I'm asked to speak or, you know, to be on a show or to come to a school, you know, when I did the school engagement, it was actually to a group of Rising sixth grade students. And, you know, they thought of me, I'm not even sure how they got my name, but they thought enough of me to have me to come and do the speech for these about 100 kids that were going to be starting middle school the next year. And it's just such an honor to be able to share myself that, in that sense. And sometimes it's not even about, you know, the number of books that I've written. And I mean, you know, 12 is a relative number. You know, they're one of my very close friends and colleagues, a person that I respect greatly, Jacqueline Thomas, very popular romance and Christian fiction writer. When I met her, she had 16 titles, less than, you know, over 10 years ago. And so, you know, I cannot be on any level big-headed about what I have accomplished. I'm grateful, certainly, for what I've been able to accomplish, but, you know, at the end of the day, God has just been good to me. I'm happy for what I have done, but I can't be big-headed about it because, you know, there's just so many other things. There's so many other choices that people can make, and I'm just humbled to be, you know, even thought of in that capacity.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
I'm not even sure if that answers your question, Tiffany. I think you were asking me about HU.
That's okay. That's okay. The conversation always seems to go like this on our show.
Yep.
We'll ask one thing and then it'll branch off into, but it's okay. It's okay. Well, you've been featured all over the nations with on various panels with different authors. Kimberly Lawson Roby, you mentioned Jacqueline Thomas, Carl Weber, Mary Morrison. Wow, that's really an it's really an honor to have you with us. Now, tell us about KISS Publications and Literary Agency, because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that are writing and probably, you know, have some projects they want to get published this year. So tell us about that.
Okay, well, KISS Publications, it was my original publications company name when I released my first title, Promise You Won't Tell Nobody, and then a second one after that, Fruit of My Womb. I self-published those two titles. And so, of course, when you self-publish, you need to establish yourself as a business. You know, you're not
right.
just writing books, but you're establishing a business, and that's important for aspiring writers to know. It's just not about releasing this book. You're releasing a whole entity. And so the name KISS, someone once told me, you know, because KISS Publications was my email address, kisspublications@yahoo.com, and I still have that email after so many years. But they said that it sounded like an adult book company or something. You know, it just gave them the wrong impression of the company, and it made me change, you know, to have something that was more specific to my name. But I kept, because it had been so established over the course of years, I kept the name, and it actually started as an acronym for myself, my two sons, and my now husband. He was my husband, but now he's my husband because we're divorced. That particular husband, it was a compilation of our names that
okay.
I developed the company name. And right now, I have a list of about 20 authors that I represent in the marketplace in terms of having their work presented to publishing companies for publication. We've just recently changed our strategy because, as you know, Tiffany, the market is very, very rapidly changing to digital in terms of books. And so people are receiving, especially, you know, we just got past Christmas where, you know, there was an estimated, I don't even want to quote a number, I'm just going to throw a number out there, 1 million Kindles sold. So between the Nook and the Kindle, people are just going to the digital market. And so it's so much easier now to become published than it was, you know, even 5 years ago. And so people are coming to the place where they don't specifically, whereas before, and even now, if they try to go, you know, with the conventional publishing method, if you approach a Simon & Schuster or some of the bigger companies, they're looking for you to have an agent. You know, they're looking for you to have some things already in place prior to you coming to them. Some of them, they only work with agents. They don't want to work directly with the author. And there are some reasons for that, which I'll be glad to touch on. But now with people being able to publish work at the push of a button, guess what? The agent is not so important anymore, and the publishing houses are not so important to an author being able to release a title now. So with that being said, you know, of course, we're keeping up with the industry trend and going very progressively to just doing digital work. And, of course, as new authors are aspiring to get into this field, it's really important that they realize this huge turn that the industry is making. And, you know, we have in our minds, oh, I want to have this physical book in my hand. With people and being able to buy a book in a snap. I mean, with the push of a button in their pajamas, not even getting out of bed, less and less people are traveling or spending the gas, spending the effort to go to a bookstore to purchase a physical book. And, you know, people just need, authors need to be really aware of that and keep up with that industry trend. It's nice to have something in your hand. If you have it in your hand, people, you have to get it to people. And with digital publishing, is readily available. It's at their fingertips. And I would just encourage those who maybe have a few books out there that have not made the transition to put their work, convert their work into an e-book. You need to be doing that. You're missing out on sales. You're missing out on a huge part of the market. I bought a Kindle last May. I bought it for myself for Mother's Day. I guess it was really just kind of peer pressure. You know, I heard so much about it. People were getting it. Do you have one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I bought one. I think, Tiffany, since then, I could count on one hand, probably half one hand, the number of physical books that I've bought since then, and I probably have about 50 books on my Kindle. And so that just gives you, and I'm an author, so of course I'm all about getting the physical book. But, you know, with me being able to get it in a snap, you can't beat that. So all you authors out there who are slow making that transition, do yourself a favor. Find a company or an organization that offers conversion, or you can learn how to do it yourself and upload your books to get them available to your readers in a digital format. And then especially with Kindle, for instance, or Amazon, offering the Kindle app for your smartphone and for your PC and all these different devices, you're only holding yourself back by not doing it.
Wow. And I like having a physical book, but...
I have a ton of them. I have books just everywhere, but you know what? These books have been sitting on my shelf for a few years. The last 50 book purchases that I've made have all been on my Kindle. So that's saying a lot. And then I did want to go back to touch on one thing about publishing companies not wanting to work directly with authors, just to give people an understanding of why that is kind of in place, is because especially new authors, they have a stigma, unfortunately, from people before them that they're difficult to work with. They a lot of times have unrealistic expectations about the kind of money they're going to be offered. You know, we have a fantasy that, you know, you're going to get this book contract that's going to be this $100,000 deal.
Mm-hmm.
So happening, you know, like they used to, they just are not. And so what I have seen a lot of times, of course, I get manuscripts all the time because publications, you know, I would like for you to read my work. This is going to be a great book. I would like to partner with you. Let me just roll back a little bit before I can even get that person to the publishing company. In a lot of cases, that author's approach is all wrong, because they are unaware or refuse to follow the process. If you're going to submit your work to an agent or to a publisher, there's a certain professional standard that you should be following. It does not mean send me an email and tell me to go to your website to read a sample of your work. I'm not going to do that. No,
right.
No publishing company is going to do that. And so I would encourage aspiring authors to understand the process. You know, find out what it means to have your manuscript in the proper format. It needs to be double-spaced. It needs to have the page numbers. It needs to have a header at the top with the title of your book and your name, first and or last name, at the top of the page. It needs to not have printing on both sides of the paper. I mean, there's just so many things that I have seen for people to that want me to consider their work, and it goes immediately in the trash. Someone asked me if I would take a look at their work. I think it was just yesterday, and I agreed to do it, you know, on a whim, and they sent me about what equated to about 50 pages of text as the body of an email. And guess what? It's not at the cost. I still may go over it because I told them that I would, but it fell from the top of my priority list. Well, it fell from my list of things to do, you know, this week. Okay, now I'll get to it when I get to it, because they did not, you know, take the steps that they needed to take on a professional level in order to submit it to me properly. That lets me know that they're not ready. You're not ready. And it's kind of like, you know, going if you were going to go to a dance audition or, you know, American Idol even, and expect to be on the show, you know you got to come a certain way. You know you got to come, you got to sing. It has to be a cappella, whatever their guidelines are. You're not just going to come any kind of way and want them to take your work or want them to take you seriously. It just doesn't happen like that.
Wow. That was like a ton of important information people need to know because they think that, like you just said, you just made it real plain. It's going to be this book deal, this big all this month. No. And even presenting it to you, you need to have it in the correct format and in a professional manner. So,
absolutely.
We're going to go to break real quick, and okay. We will be right back.
All right, awesome.
Since the day you came into my life, you made me realize that we were born to fly. You showed me every day new possibilities. You proved my fantasy of love could really be. Let's go to a place only lovers go, to a spot that we've never known, to the top of the clouds we're floating away. Yeah. Ooh, this feels so crazy. Oh, this love is blazing. Baby, we're so high, walking on clouds. Or sail among the stars before the night is through. And when morning comes, we'll see the sun is not so far. And we can't get much closer to God than where we are. We'll go to a place only lovers go, to a spot that we've never known, to the top of the clouds we're floating away. Yeah. Ooh, this feels so crazy. Oh, this love is blazing. And baby, we're so high, walking on clouds.
We are back, and we have guests tonight is Kimberly Matthews Hooker. She is a she has 15 years experience in the business of the literary field. She has now 13 published books, titles. She's a speaker, content editor, ghostwriter, and literary agent. Mario, you have anything?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Kimberly. Before we start the questions, I just want to apologize. I am a little bit under the weather today, but I want to talk to you about and want you to kind of clarify a little bit about the relationship game called the fishbowl and what do it mean and what does it do for couples itself?
Okay, I'll be glad to talk about that. Thank you for asking, Mario. The fishbowl is a game concept that I came up with to really delve a little bit deeper into exploring potential mates. And this was, you know, when I was in my single days. I don't even remember how I formulated this idea in my head, but I was dating this gentleman, and I just always wanted to ask all of these questions. And so I never played the game with him, but, you know, I'm married now. I've been married 3 years. Now I'm the Mr. Hooker, my husband. And it's something that we tried out in our dating process. But it is, I call it the fishbowl, the easy way to ask the hard questions. And so, of course, when you're dating someone and you're considering going further in that relationship, i.e. marriage or even engagement, you know, there are some things that you might be a little bit intimidated about asking for fear of not wanting to come across the wrong way, or, you know, they're thinking you're going to be, you're being too forward, or you're not on the same page emotionally to ask the questions that are important to you or that may be important to him. And so, I had long before him thought of the concept. I just never really put together. So, you know, together we actually played it. I had a fishbowl. It was actually a real fishbowl that's shaped like a fish. And we, the way that the game, as it's called, is played, is it allows you to take paper, and I have a trademark pad with the fishbowl and the emblem and logo and all of that printed on it, but you write down questions that you want this other person to answer for you. And they all, he wrote down his questions, I wrote down my questions, whatever it was that I needed to know. And I mean, some really, that some of the questions were very, very simple, like, what's your favorite ice cream? And then there were some other questions that was, you know, a little more challenging, like, have you ever had sex with a man? And, you know, just for me to come out of my mouth to someone that I'm considering, you know, deepening a relationship with, you never know how that person's going to take that kind of question. But when we put them all in the fishbowl, he had questions for me, and some of them were easy for me to answer. Some of them were really challenging that I had to, you know, roll back a little bit. We put them all in the fishbowl, and they're color coordinated. So you have your easy questions on one color paper. You have your more difficult questions on a different color paper. There were, for instance, for the female, the colors are yellow and pink. For the male, they're green and blue. And so the two of you decide, okay, anything that I put on a pink sheet of paper, those are going to be easy questions. And it's important to do this because some of the questions are so heavy, you're not going to want to randomly continue to pick heavy questions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it actually does.
I'm trying to give you the rules to the game and explain it. And so all of these questions, the easy ones, the tough ones, they all go into the fishbowl, and then you take turns drawing them out. Now, the game is not a 30-minute game. It may take you a couple months to get through all of the questions because you play it until every single question in that bowl is answered. But because the questions are drawn at random, there is no, you know, the person does not draw a difficult question off of some conversation that you had last night and it really got on my nerves, so now I'm going to throw this in there. No, this is something that was already in there. You don't know at what point this crossed my mind. It's just in there. And as we were playing this game, you know, learning a whole lot more about each other on a whole lot of other levels, some of the questions were a little bit tough, and what we did, or part of the rules to the game is, if you pull out a question and it's just, you know, something that you just cannot reach right now, you know, it's not that I don't want to tell you about this, it's just really, really challenging for me to talk about it. We allowed each other to mark that particular question, fold it up, and put it back in the bowl. But the next time they drew it out, they had to answer it. So there's no avoidance. There's no hiding behind issues. There's no, okay, you only asked me this because you found out this and the third. But we actually played until we answered every single question that the both of us have about each other, from the simplicity to the complex. And we still have the fishbowl today. And, you know, if there's really something that's on one of our hearts, you know, we will take a look at it, you know, in a place where we both can see it. We take a look at it, there's something in the bowl, then guess what? That means there's some talking that needs to take place. And so it's just really instrumental in terms of getting some issues out on the table, at least getting them introduced so that they become speaking points for your relationship, so that you don't, you know, get into this relationship and now you are emotionally involved and you found out this person is dead broke and got 15 kids in 4 states and his check is garnished or whatever, you know, whatever is important to you. And not to say that every negative response is going to be a deal breaker for you. It's really about what you are willing to accept or deal with versus what you're not. You know, it might be fine with you for your mate to have 15 kids. If you're fine with that, at least you know exactly what you're getting into. And so, again, it was just really instrumental for us in terms of exploring our relationship, where we were, you know, especially because this is a second marriage for me. I do have two adult children, whereas my husband has no children. One of my questions for him was, do you want more kids? That's a big deal for me, having two adult sons. And so, you know, just things like that, subjects that need to be breached, it's just an easy way to ask the hard question. And so after we played it, we tested it, we tried it, found out what worked. Okay, we need to do this. This one's too hard. Okay, today we're only going to play easy questions. So only pick the pink paper and only pick the blue paper. Leave the tough ones in there. It just proved to be a really, really good way to learn a whole lot about each other and not just little surface level things. So that's the fishbowl in a nutshell.
Oh wow!
Wow!
I'm actually sitting here. Like, do you have a YouTube version of it? How can somebody play the game and get the rules if they never like listen to this radio show or never been in Virginia or something like that? How can somebody get the fishbowl in their household?
Well, they would have to directly contact me, and I haven't done a whole lot of marketing for it, Mario. Unfortunately, you know, I guess sometimes I just kind of dove off into things, and then I remember what I'm supposed to be doing, which is fulfilling my book contract. And so one of the things that was really, and I do have the game here, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, but one of the things that I did not, that's held me back from really putting it out there and marketing it is I wanted to have it perfectly packaged because I did not want to produce sometimes what we see self-published authors producing, something that looks like I did this in my garage. Both myself and my husband, we did not want to deliver that kind of product to the marketplace. And so I started looking. I got a trademark and I got a patent on it and, you know, found some suppliers to do my materials, the notepads and the pencils with the logos and ink pens and all these other things, all the elements of the game. But the one thing that I could not find, and I guess I kind of stopped searching, I could not find a product packager to give me the box that I wanted to hold the fish because the fish is actually crystal. So if someone played the game and then they just want to display it in their home, you know, it's to that standard. It's not just a little plastic piece of something, you know, a Monopoly piece. You know, it's actually a crystal fishbowl. And so because we wanted the packaging to be perfect and for it to not be perceived the wrong way and, again, for it to be taken seriously in the marketplace, I've just been really hesitant in terms of getting it out there, making it available to people that would find interest in it. And it's on the, I don't want to say the back burner, Mario. It's on the burner. It's just not on the front part of the stove. Ship one to them. They would have to contact me directly via my email, Kimberly@KimberlyTMatthews.com, and do a special request for it. Like I said, we do have them. I do have them in stock. I do have the rules. I have all of that. I guess I stopped a little bit short of getting the box. And then, you know, I think another piece of it, too, was really my hesitancy in trying to learn the game market or the game industry because that's really something that I don't know about, how that whole industry works and how to really market a game and all of that. So there's still some work in terms of marketing and distribution that I need to learn on the back end that's kind of helped me up in terms of getting it to the marketplace. But it is available. It is available. If someone specifically asked me for it, I would love to get it into the hands of, you know, a couple that's really on the brink of marriage or at least on the brink of becoming engaged and have them to really, you know, dig their nails into it and give me some feedback on it. And so here, as my husband and I, his name is Clay, as Clay and I were playing with it and working through whatever issues came out of it, you know, we sought some professional counselors, not for ourselves, but to say, hey, here's a product that we've developed. can you give us your professional opinion about it? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Here's how you play. Here's, you know, the rules that are behind it, to really get, like, professional insight on what they thought. And, you know, we got some really good reviews in terms of that, some really good feedback from some qualified people, not just, oh, my sister and her boyfriend played it. You know, we didn't look to those kind of things, but something on a professional level so that, you know, when it was introduced to the marketplace, it could be something worth value or something of value. I could talk about my ever.
That's fine, because we need to know what it is before we buy it or before we figure out what can we do with it. So we needed you to explain that because you are the creator of it, so that's actually informative.
There were some sessions that were fine, and again, it can take as long as you want to play it. You know, it's not just a sit-down one-session game. There were times that we played, and you know what? Okay, I cannot take another question right now. Let's get an easy question, and if the question is this, you know what? We're just going to end it and just go get some ice cream and enjoy each other's company. Sometimes it was, okay, we're going to see each other today. You want to play fishbowl? No, not today, because I don't really feel like going emotionally deep. And so, you know, it took some time to get all through the questions, and sometimes our interaction with each other or an answer to a question would spark another sheet of paper going into the bowl. And the thing about asking the questions, this is really important. Anything you put in that bowl, Mario, to ask that other person, they can ask you back. So don't think, you know, you're going to get a deep and dark secret, and, you know, because I didn't think to put that question in there, that I'm not going to turn around and ask you, you know. And so people need to keep that in mind as they are developing their questions. And part of the game, and this is something that my husband and I talked about, do we put questions in the bowl or do we allow people to develop their own questions? And I think it works better, with a couple of examples. But really, you need to develop your own questions. You know, you can find a ton of questions out there if you Google or something, you know, questions you should be asking a potential mate. But to make the game more personal for you, you need to think about your own questions. What behaviors has this person shown you? What are your concerns? You know, we could develop questions on our own, but every question is not going to fit every couple. And then you get into a place where you're pulling out questions and the question is irrelevant to your relationship. And so a key piece of it is developing your own questions and putting in, these are my concerns about this particular relationship. And, you know, as I mentioned, I was once married before. You know, my current husband, he wants to know what's the deal with you and your ex. He still lives in the same city. How often do y'all see each other? Do y'all get together for fun? You know, all of these things that perhaps if he would have just asked me straight on, maybe I would have taken offense. Why you ask me about him? Do you see him over here? He don't be over here. What you bringing him up for? You know, all of that. You know, none of that comes up in the fishbowl because there was no action that motivated me pulling that particular piece of paper out of the fishbowl. So, you know, what you draw out is what you draw out. And, you know, that person is deserving of an answer. If you're talking about marrying this person or being engaged to this person, they're deserving of an answer because they're showing you what their concerns are. They're showing you what's important to them in terms of considering, you know, a deeper level of relationship. And like I said, the couple gets to decide for themselves what's a deal breaker. You know, if that's not a deal breaker for me, that, you know, you, and I'm not saying this about my husband, so don't y'all take this and run with it, but let's just say, you know, I asked, do you frequent the strip club? Which I think was one of my questions. Do you frequent the strip club? He might have said I go every single night. Okay, if that's not a deal breaker for me because I strip, then, you know, hey, we'll go together, you know. So not every response, a deal breaker for me might not be a deal breaker for you, might be a deal breaker for another person. And so it's really about knowing what you want out of that mate, what you want out of that relationship, what you can tolerate, what you cannot tolerate, what you're going to have to deal with in, you know, living with this person and seeing this person every day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, we do have a caller, and we're going to take this call. So give us a second.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Black Writer Space. What's your first name?
LaDonna.
Okay, did you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a heavy comment for your guest. I was listening to the Fishbowl game. And number one, I wish the game was out prior to, during my dating days. And number two, this game should not only be limited to people that are thinking about getting married, but this game should be for those that are married already. You ever thought about that?
That's a great question, LaDonna. And as I mentioned, you know, my husband and I, we still have our original fishbowl. And, of course, I've ordered many more because we were going to put them on the market. But our original fishbowl, we still have it, and we still play it. If, you know, something pops up that I have concerns with, I do put them in there, and we, or he puts questions in there, and we address them. And certainly it can be implemented into current marriages. You know, part of our playing it was to get to know each other because we were considering marriages. But there's some people that are married right now that they have questions and issues, and, you know, they feel like, okay, if I bring this up, this is going to be a fight. I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to, I don't know how to approach it, in other words. And again, this is the easy way to ask the tough questions. You put them in the fishbowl, and the person draw whatever they draw that. And so both people, of course, both people have to be committed to, number one, playing it all the way through, and then number two, being honest with the person that they're playing with, because it really makes no sense to play it if you're going to lie and cover up and all of that. And while I think that's the only caveat of the game, there is no way to know if the person is telling you the truth or not. And so, you know, a lot of it is based on the honor system. If I ask you, you know, this is something that women seem to want to know more than men, I think, you know, how many people have you slept with in your past, and you really slept with 54, but you're going to tell me two, that doesn't really serve my needs or what I'm trying to get at. Why would I be asking that? I don't know. But, and I'm not saying that there are not reasons to ask that question, but for whatever the purpose is that I put that question in the fishbowl, there's a reason why I asked that. And if the person's going to lie to you, then, of course, it nulls out and makes the game of no effect. The other part of that is if that person decides to lie, you can always say, I did ask them. I wasn't, you know, just stupid and crazy and never even thought to ask them what their credit score was. I'm thinking, you know, they're on the up and up, and I found out they don't file bankruptcy. At least you did breach the subject. But it's really, you have to trust the person. They have to trust you. They have to be committed to playing it all the way through. And like I said, because you can break the session at any time, you know, if it starts getting too heavy and it starts getting too emotional, in a couple of sessions, I was crying. A couple of sessions, he was crying. Okay, it's time to take a break from this. We're not going to play this for 3 days again. So, you know, there's some flexibility in the rules, and you'll know. You'll know when it's a good time to play. You'll know, okay, let's do two easy questions and a hard question. Let's do three easy questions and a hard question. Okay, we're going to do three hard questions today because it brings up so, so, so much. And so getting back to you, LaDonna, absolutely, it is very marketable to married couples. I did make a couple connections to some people that I knew that their niche was marital counseling, to pitch it to them and share the idea with them and, you know, look at partnering and doing some speaking engagements around it at some marriage workshops and those kind of things. But like I said, you know, until we can get it packaged properly, if I were to send you one, LaDonna, I wouldn't want you to be like, what?
Well, here's the thing. Here, I can actually help you with that because I have a marketing/graphic design company that actually specializes in packaging. So that was another reason that I was prompted in my mind to just give you guys a call, because I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, I need a fishbowl. Second of all, I wouldn't mind helping you with putting some ideas together. Another thing that I was thinking about while you were saying all of that was, you know, even though the part of the rules is to speak the truth, the person asking the question has to be ready for the truth as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. And again, you know, well, when you're playing with the right person, that comes with the commitment of playing the game. That comes with the commitment of playing the game. And I would love to connect with you, LaDonna, to talk about some product packaging ideas or some solutions and, you know, really get this out there. That would be a wonderful accomplishment for myself and my husband in 2012.
Sure thing. I have your email address.
That is wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you, LaDonna.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Black Writer Space. I love the show.
Thank you so much for calling. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
we're going to
talking, huh?
We're going to go to break. You are absolutely wonderful. We always have good guests on our show. But
yes,
we're going to go to break real quick, and we'll be right back.
All right, I'll be here.
Hello, we are back. What an awesome show. For those of you who just tuned in with us, we have author, published novelist, speaker, content editor, ghostwriter, and literary agent, Kimberly Matthews Hooker. And she has so much information for us that she has laid on us, and we still have more questions for her. Mario? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just got a phone call from Walmart. They told me Fishbowl can be on the shelves that next Thursday.
Okay, well, I'm going to need you, Mario, to give Walmart my number.
Okay. I have a question about one of your books, and I know that when people start like researching you and following you, they're gonna have the same question. What is spooning?
Now, Mario, you know good and well, or good and tea well, as my husband would say, you know what spooning is. But spooning, the novel spooning, is really, I think my niche in terms of writing is I'm always writing about relationships and weddings and all of that. That seems to be a constant theme in my work, and I don't think I intentionally do that. It just kind of ends up that way. But in the book Spooning, we're talking, looking at the life of Carice Watson, who is a mom first and then a wife. And the reason why she marries her husband is because that's her baby's father. And so, you know, like so many young women, she's in her early 20s, you know, we have the child and we want the relationship with the father to work because we know there's a part of us that knows that it's supposed to work that way. So, of course, Carice did not play the fishbowl game. She did not find out all this information that she should have found out prior to marrying her husband, Sydney. And so once she gets in this marriage that's, you know, lopsided in terms of emotional commitment and, you know, just emotional presence, those kind of things, the only time that they really get along is when they're spooning. And so you know what happens before spooning, or you know what happens, what spooning leads to. So outside of their bedroom, you know, the marriage is very tumultuous. And the message in the story is really geared toward young women that find themselves getting into relationships way too early for the wrong reason. You know, just because this is your baby's father does not mean he's the man that you should marry. You know, it would be nice because that's the biblical standard, but if it doesn't pan out that way, just think about what you're doing, think about what you're getting into. And so, you know, she finds herself in a bit of a rocky marriage, finding it one-sided. You know, he's really not in love with her, but she's committed to making her marriage work because she's married. But the only time they get along is when they're spooning. Sum it up for you, Mario.
Wow.
Thank you for that, because I know a lot of people just want to hear from you, your version of it, just like your version of the fishbowl, your version of many other things that you were talking about earlier. We just want to hear your version of what you're putting out there versus us putting our own little assumption on it. You know what I mean?
Right. I really try to write from a whole standpoint. I'm not an urban fiction writer. And, you know, for the authors that do write that particular genre, more power to you. That's just not my cup of tea. And so I have had people to tell me, you know, spooning, I thought it was going to be a whole lot of sex and this. You know, that's just not my thing to write. There are a couple of adult scenes in there, of course, because they are a married couple. But in terms of what the marketplace offers for urban fiction and the kind of stories that are out there, it's nowhere on that level. Nowhere on that level. I try to write very wholesomely. And I'm not saying it's not Christian fiction, but it's not the down and dirty, if I can say it that way. So if you're expecting a whole lot of Zane-like scenes, you're not going to get it out of spoon, and please still buy it. Please still buy it, readers. But just know that, you know, I don't want you to get it and be disappointed thinking it's going to take you somewhere that it's not. You will not be jumping on your man or jumping on your girl, you know, because you've been stimulated by reading spooning.
Wow. Okay, we have a caller that has, I think he wants to make a comment or has a question.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. I just
Thank
wanted
you
to
for
say,
calling.
You're welcome. Well, I just want to say that I listened to the show. This is probably my third time listening. And I just want to say that y'all are doing a great job, and I hope you keep going and keep growing. And that's all I have
thank
to say.
You.
Oh,
okay,
really appreciate
thank you.
That.
Thank you so much for calling.
Oh,
and continue
okay,
to pass the word.
I will. Definitely will.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Kimberly, I have a question for you. Okay, now, we have all these different titles, published novelist, speaker, content editor, ghostwriter. I want to know about the ghostwriting. That's always been something that I've kind of thought of doing. Not me myself, but me needing one. So just give me a brief, you know, whatever your version of what are the requirements? What does it entail? Is it very expensive? That's my main question. Is it really expensive? You know, if you, because with my book, I've been sitting on for 10 years. Don't tell nobody. But I was writing about my life. So I've been wanting to, like, make it fiction, but it's kind of like, how do I do this? How do I do that? You know how you want to change stuff up? And really, I could do it myself, but it was always like, shoot, I can get somebody else to do it. So tell me how that works.
Well, ghostwriters, of course, they hide behind the author. Generally, the author has a message to deliver or a story to tell, but they just don't have the writing skills to produce the quality work. That's where the ghostwriter comes in. In terms of expense, it can be expensive. I mean, you just kind of have to shop around and, you know, do some interviewing in terms of who you want to take on your project, because that person has to really connect with you in terms of being able to grasp your voice and add on or add into the story pieces that are going to resonate with you, sound like your voice. You know, you don't want to take somebody's work and it no longer sounds like that particular author. It sounds like your voice. And so there, in terms of the expense piece, it can be very costly. People have different prices. I think that in terms of what people expect to pay, generally a ghostwriter costs more than what people have in their mind. But you get what you pay for. And so I don't want to quote prices, because people have different ways of how they work. Some people charge by the hour. Some people charge by the page. Me particularly, I have to see the work first. I need some sample chapters of the author's work, because I need to know how much work is involved. I've taken on projects that were just great, great content, but no... Right, it just wasn't written well. One of the projects that I did, it was actually, and I've done this for a few of these, so I don't want to single anybody out, though I don't think they're listening to the show, but I had a pastor to take a series that he had preached across his pulpit, and he just took it and transcribed it and published a book. And so I guess he was not realizing that the spoken word across the pulpit printed out on paper does not read the same. It's just not. The book was phenomenal content, but the way that it was written is written like you're preaching. And so, you know, I went in, and if you're preaching a series, and guess what? That means you've made this 1 point 20 times. And so when a person sees that in a book, I've lost interest. You done said that. You said that on page 13. You said it on page 50. You said that on page 62. I got that piece of it, and so I really had to take that original work that he had, and I remember when he approached me, he was just so disheartened. When the book first released, he was very happy, very pleased, but later on, when he got down the road and realized, as so many self-published authors do, you get down the road and you realize, oh, man, this is really a mess. I should have got some help with this. I was able to take it and just turn it completely, make it 1,000 times better, and put it back on the marketplace where it really started to see some success, and he began to get some notoriety in terms of, you know, him being an author. And, of course, I would never call his name. My name is nowhere in his book. I don't think it is. Maybe I'm on an acknowledgement page, but it doesn't say anywhere that, you know, I did this work for him. Because a ghostwriter is just that. They're a ghost. You don't see them. You pay that person, and they do the work, and, you know, the work is yours. So it can be costly. I would say to you, Tiffany, if you got somebody and the price sounds kind of halfway reasonable, you might want to put up a little warning flag. That might be a flag on the plaque. You don't want to go too cheap because that's an indication of the quality of work that you're going to get.
Okay. Okay, you know what? I think I just need to get up off my butt and get back into my right mode, basically.
With that said, one process that I see authors skip all the time is content editing. Do not skip that process. I don't care what you're writing. If you do it yourself, you get a ghostwriter, do it, whatever. Don't skip the content editing process, which is putting it into the hands of a professional to read it and show you where the loopholes are, show you where the story is weak, and show you what's not working, show you where the confusion is in the story. And so many people, you know, when we write our books, we think it's perfect in and of itself when we're done. It's our baby. Nobody wants to have an ugly baby. My baby is beautiful. What are you talking about? But, no, you need somebody to take that baby and say, you know what, this baby got a few problems. Let's go ahead and get them fixed right now while the baby's in its infancy, so it can be beautiful in the long run. Don't skip that process. Make sure that it's something that you do. That's for every aspiring author. Don't put something out there if you have not had it professionally content edited, because you will kick yourself at the end of the day.
Wow. Oh, so much information. We are going to wrap up the interview with Kimberly. And what is your website? We have to let the listeners know where to go and purchase your books, get information about the fishbowl.
Well, my website is Kimberly, T as in Teresa, Matthews, with two T's in Matthews, .com, KimberlyTMatthews.com. My blog is there. Books are there, excerpts. There's only a tiny little blurb about the fishbowl up there. I think with me having launched the Fantastic Lady D, that's probably going to be a product that Lady D pushes because, you know, she's on the relationship front. And so after I talk to LaDonna and we get some packaging ideas going, that's something that people can definitely look forward to. But there is a little bit of information on the site. People would like to email me, my email is Kimberly@KimberlyTMatthews.com. I'll be glad to answer any other further questions, or if you want to order a fishbowl game, you know, I can send it to you in a plain brown box. Just don't talk about me too bad, you know.
It has been a pleasure having you today with us.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to just come in and talk with us. That really means a lot. We just started the talk show in December. So December was our first month. So, and it's really been awesome. We've had really good guests, and you would think we've been doing this for years, but I really just thank God for just extending favor over us and blessing us to have so many wonderful authors with so many different accomplishments. They bring their information to the table, their knowledge, their wisdom. And no, you're not old, but I'm still going to say knowledge and wisdom. But we just thank you so much, and we will be having you back sooner or later. Maybe we'll have you back to talk about the latest book.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. And I'm so very privileged and honored that you would have me on the show, you and Mario, and Black Writer Space Magazine. I'm very, very grateful, very honored, and very humbled.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
All right.
And also, when we have, we will be having some events this summer, and we will be keeping in contact with you so we can invite you out to Chicago to come hang out with us.
I love Chicago, so please keep me in mind.
Okay. I think you're the second guest that said that. I've been here my whole life, so it's no big deal to me. But thank you so much.
Oh.
And you have a really, really blessed evening.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Mario. You too.
No problem. You have a good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Goodbye. Wow. Great, 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 great show. Kimberly Matthews Hooker. For those of you who may have just tuned in with us, we had author, novelist, speaker, published novelist, speaker, content editor, ghostwriter, and literary agent, Kimberly Matthews Hooker, and her website is www.kimberlymatthews.com, I believe. We will be having her back at a later day to discuss her latest book. She has a total of 13 now. She just released her last book just this year. Or it'll be coming out, I think, within this month, I think she said. So 13 titles she has. Really, really awesome person and guest to have on our show. Mario, you there? No, maybe?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm like, okay. I know you're kind of under the weather right now.
Yeah.
And we're not going to keep you, but we are going to go forward with the show. I have another guest that will be on with me, and she's going to be discussing, it's going to be like a health corner. And just, you know, even though writing is it's a passion, it's still, when you're a full-time writer, when it's something that you are determined to do, when you're working on a book, if you do it full-time or part-time, you still have to keep your health up and, you know, eat good and stay healthy. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to give some tips on, she's going to give some tips on that, but I'll be introducing her after the break. I'm going to go to break, and I'll be right back. We are back, and I thank you guys for staying with us tonight for the last 30 minutes. I have a special guest. Her name is DeAndrea Bridges, and she is a RN, BSN, and she's going to discuss the health side of also being a writer and keeping your nutrition up and staying healthy and tips for relieving stress, and just a whole lot of goodies she has for us tonight. DeAndrea?
Yes, hi, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. You know, I listen all the time, and I really appreciate all the information and the great authors that you have on, and it's just good information that you're putting out there.
Yes, absolutely. I want to be able to cover every aspect of being a writer, author, however you want to put it, but it's still a job. It's still consequences to putting so much of yourself into your passion. So I know I get stressed out really easily. Writing can be emotional depending on what you're writing about. So, yes, I really thank you so much for even taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us tonight and give out these tips. They are so important. We have so many different health issues in our society today, high blood pressure, stress, silent killer, diabetes, all this other stuff. And when we on the go so much, you know, it's easy to pull at McDonald's. I do it all the time, and it's like, right. So go ahead. You got the floor.
Okay. Well, one thing I just want to say is this is not just for writers. It's for poets. It's for motivational speakers. It's for everyday people, moms, dads, you know, just tips in order and how to keep ourselves up to par, motivated, doing what we would like to do. And if writing happens to be your passion, I do have some tips for you to keep you on the level and keep you where you want to be. One of the things that I keep hearing as a common thread in some of your interviews is writer's block. As some people may experience writer's block, and that can go, again, for poets, pastors, ministers, motivational speakers, you know, how to get yourself in that place where you can write and be able to deliver what you want to deliver and the quality of work you want to deliver, right?
Right.
So one of the things that I did was sit down and just come up with some tips that I can give to some of your listeners to help them get back on track and also to help yourself get back on track. I wanted to be a writer as a young girl, and I think back to how it's easy to want to sit down and say, I'm a writer, but then what do you do at that point when you put pen to paper? What's the tips that you need? So here are some easy tips that I came up with. And the first thing is, if you are experiencing writer's block, don't be hard on yourself. A lot of times as writers, we feel like, oh, I should be able to do this, and this should come so easy to me, and this is my passion, and this is my job. And really the bottom line is, you know, we can be so hard on ourselves that we can keep ourselves from being productive. So number one is definitely don't be so hard on yourself, okay? Number two is just set deadlines and keep them. A lot of times we want to write a book, and we don't have a set deadline for that because we figure we're going to write so many chapters that we want to put so many things into it. And so because we may not have that publisher, or we may not have that editor that, you know, the young lady was speaking of, or someone to kind of look at it, and we don't have that set, we don't set deadlines for ourselves. So even if you set a deadline for a chapter, you know, sit down and think about what is a good time frame for you to get that chapter out that's reasonable with your schedule, whether you have children, a family, work, you know, if this is something that you do 100% or part-time, you know, make sure that you set a reasonable deadline for yourself and keep it. And also, you know, keep a little calendar or a little chart that shows, you know, how are you doing? You know, maybe you didn't do so well with chapter one. You set a deadline for 2 weeks or a month. You know, did it take you 3 weeks? Did it take you five? You know, see how you're doing with your deadlines and go from there. Try to increase and try to be more productive each and every time to meet those goals. Okay?
Wow.
Also, remember why you started writing. You know, a lot of times we want to get something out so bad that we forget what was our motivation. what was it that we that made us want to be a writer? What made us want make us want to be a motivational speaker or a poet? You know, get your inspiration back. Focus on that. You know, have that, you know, right dead center so that, you know, you can keep motivated and keep yourself motivated. You know, a lot of times as writers nowadays with the internet, TV, you know, smartphones, you know, it's not a, it seems like it's not in big demand. And so we are sometimes our own cheerleaders, you know. So you have to kind of keep yourself motivated and know what it is that got you to want to be the writer or the speaker that you are. And again, stop thinking about it. You know, sometimes you sit back and you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't write. What's going on? Why can't I write? Why can't I write? And at the end of the day, if you stop thinking about it and just put pen to paper, clear your mind, you'll be surprised at what you'll be able to do. And don't force it. And then on the health side, a lot of times, look at the time that you're trying to write. You know, look at your surroundings, what's around you. Are there children around you? You know, do you have a creative space? Is your space productive for you to do what it is that you're called to do? You know, don't try to write after a heavy meal, you know, after dinner. You know, your body is trying to digest food and you are, you know, your body is trying to digest, and that's just not a good time for you, you know, your brain cells to be trying to figure out what you're trying to write. So, you know, examine the times that you're trying to do this. You know what I'm saying, Tiffany?
Mm-hmm. You hitting it. That's why I'm quiet. I'm like, wow. Because
okay.
This is actually, it's really for me because I need all of this.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, these things are so important, you know, for us. We have to make sure that we remember those things and, you know, exercise. Exercise is something else we don't think of as writers. We're not running, you know, we're not in a marathon, you know, it's not for our weight or whatever, but to keep your mind healthy, you have to keep your body healthy. So exercise, and I don't mean go out tomorrow and try to run a marathon, but take your time, do what you can do, and get your mind right. Do you have any questions for me?
I do have a caller that has a question.
Okay.
Let me bring her on.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? This is Black Writer Space. Hello?
I don't know what happened.
Okay. What's that? Hello?
Yes, hi. Black Writer Space?
Yes.
I have a question.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I was wondering, sometimes I find that when I write, you know, there's just so much going on at home. You know, I've got the kids, I've got the pets, I've got everything going on. And it's not so much of a writer's block, but it's more or less, I remember to feed everyone else myself. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Like, I get into the mode of not eating because I feel like I have to get this chapter done. I have to get this writing piece done. And I know it's not healthy. I know it's not. I mean, do you have any advice for me?
You know what I would say? I would really, and I know it's hard, like you said, with the kids and work and trying to really, you know, reach your deadline. But remember, fuel, your body's fuel is food. So that only helps you be a better writer. So what I would advise you to do is whatever time that you take to write prior to that, just give yourself maybe 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes, even if it's just a small snack. Get a snack in, give it time to digest, and then sit down, and I guarantee you, you will see that it will make you a better writer. Because if you're hungry or if you haven't had a chance to feed your body, then you haven't had a chance to feed your mind. And it's so important that you get a chance even to relax yourself. So that, I mean, with everything going on, the hustle, the bustle, the kids, you know, you'll find that if you can clear your mind, feed your body and feed your mind, that it'll be 100% better. But not eating is definitely not the way to go.
Right. I agree. I mean, there's times when, you know, like if I don't eat, I do beat myself up. You were talking about don't beat yourself up. I do beat myself up because I feel like I got to get this done. I got to finish. And I forget to eat. And you're right. I mean, the moment I step away, take a break, and put some food in my system, then I can continue where I left off and possibly get even sound even better than where I left off. You know what I mean?
Yes. And remember, another tip is to set good and healthy guidelines, deadlines for yourself. So, you know, maybe that deadline that you're setting for yourself, maybe just push it off a day, you know, and that'll give you a chance each day to write and get what you want to get out, but at the same time, take care of self. Because if you aren't healthy, then your product isn't going to be healthy. You aren't putting out the best thing that you can put out if you aren't giving the best you that you have to put forth.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yes, Tiffany, just like the caller said, you know, we have to take time to fuel our bodies. If we treat ourselves with 100%, we can put out 100% in our product. Exercise, food, rest, those are three things that are key to putting out your best you. And that could be your motivational speaker, that can be your pastor, that can be your blogger, that can be your book writer, that can be your magazine editor, it can be your ghost writer, it can be anybody that wants to do this. You have to be the best you that you can be in order to put out a good product.
Absolutely. That is so true and so needed.
It is. And again, like you said, the space, clearing your space, having a good productive space to work in. You know, if your inspiration was something that, you know, like your childhood, have a childhood photo in your space that you can kind of look to say, hey, you know, I remember why I want to be a writer. Or if it's your children, or, I mean, it can be either your mom. Whatever your inspiration is, whatever your motivator is, keep that in your space so that you can look at it and know that this is why I'm doing this and this is what I want to do. So, I mean, those things are very important.
Yes, my motivation is music. Music helps me a lot, you know, when I get stuck, especially with the writer's block thing, when I get stuck in a spot and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. And, I mean, it just goes completely blank. I don't know what causes it. I don't know if it's just something that writers just made up and people went along with it, but I did go through that. And I, by me writing about my life and different events and incidents that happened, and it's like, okay, I put on that music, and it takes me back right there where I need to be. Like, stuff I forgot that happened. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that, and I remember this. Yeah,
that's
so.
And that's it. Whatever it is, you have to have your space situated. If it's your computer, if it's pens, if it's paper, some people still use old-fashioned typewriters, whatever it is, make sure your space is productive for you. That way, when you sit there, it'll take you right where you need to go. And if you still are experiencing, another thing is, you know, we say things and we claim those things as we say them. So we continue to say, I have writer's block. I have writer's block. We're speaking that into existence.
That's true.
So be
That's
mindful
true.
Of what it is that we are putting out there into the atmosphere and what it is that we're saying, and just speak positive things to say, you know what, I will complete this chapter by such and such a date, whatever our deadline is. You know, look over those things. Sit down and get set what it is that you're going to do for that day and then accomplish it. And then if you still have some problems, you can also do some writing exercises. You know, that can also help. A couple of fun things are just pick 10 people that you know and write a sentence about them, you know, just describing them. You know, something quick, but just to get, you know, words on the paper, to get your mind flowing, to get you motivated. Or, you can write a biography, like a 500-word biography, or, you know, you can pick how many words, you know, or just fun little things, little stories, short stories to get your mind focused and ready to write, and then focus back on what it is that you yourself want to write about.
Yes, absolutely. We thank you so much for joining us today to just touch on some important health tips. And we will be periodically having this segment back on the show quite often. And just touch on some different, like the next one, I think I might want to touch on high blood pressure, just kind of single some things out. We might even have, and I never even thought about it till now, but we may have people, you know, I'm sure there are people who are writers mm-hmm. and may write full-time and may be experiencing illnesses
that,
you know, there's not a cure for, and, you know, they may be going through chemo, and it's so much stuff going on out here that we don't even think about.
Absolutely.
So, I'm going to say it again. I say it all the time. It's just not about just, oh, you have a book. It's a whole lot more that goes to this picture.
Absolutely.
So, and it's all connected. Yeah.
And if any of your listeners have any comments or concerns or questions that they may want to, you know, have answered during the segment, have them contact, you know, write to Black Writer Space. And then that way we can address those questions, you know, in the next segment. And that way we'll have, you know, a focus for them. If they have anything they want to know. Because everybody's not
yes.
always willing to call in. So, you know, that way.
Right.
We
and we that's why I always let them know we have our chat open. So if you
yes.
want to say something in the chat, you're always welcome to if you log in on the computer. I know some people call in over the phone and listen in to the show, but you can also, Mario, he introduced the champagne room yesterday, which is kind of like just something we added. I'm thinking I'm probably going to do a separate email address for that and give it out during the show so that people, you know, those who don't want to call in, they can just send an email and ask a question or comment or anything, and then we can address it on air.
Mm-hmm.
But
be
this
good.
Has really been an awesome show.
Yes.
I thank you again for joining us on the second half. Mario was a little bit under the weather, so he's still listening in. But, you know, I told him I got him. that health thing again, you know, the weather just changed.
Right.
So I think it was so cold yesterday. I think it was like 17 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah, it was freezing. Just warming the car up. I mean, I started the car up, but then with the remote start, the heat doesn't come on automatically. So when I got in the car, I was still freezing.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And he has an outside job. So.
Make sure we dress appropriately for the weather and make sure that we remember just those subtle changes, you know. Yeah, a couple of days ago, we didn't need a scarf and a hat. Today, we do. You know, keep your nose covered, keep your chest and neck covered. You know, just those simple things can make a difference.
Exactly.
Well, I thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait till the next time. Again, I think that Black Writer Space is doing an awesome job. I love all of the authors that you have on. Everything is so informative. And may God bless you guys. And you just continue to do this work. It is so important.
Yes, I definitely will. And I thank you so much. I thank our listeners. We'll be back tomorrow. Check our Facebook page and our Twitter for the next Who the Guest Will Be Tomorrow. And everyone, have a blessed evening and have a good year, 2012. See you guys later.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You are the one who makes me feel do